If you're able, would you stand? I want to read from Mark, the 10th chapter. Mark, the 10th chapter. And I'm going to begin with verse number 46. Verse number 46. Mark chapter 10. Beginning with verse number 46. If you're there, say amen. Then they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. In the King James Version, I believe it says by the highway side. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped, King James says, and Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up. He is calling for you." Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus really gave this man a blank check. Are y'all with me? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine, you know, you having a conversation with Jesus and Jesus asking you, "What you want me to do for you?" Y'all get it later now. And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith." Let me hear you say faith. "Your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. That's the reading of the text. All God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Verse number 49 jumped out to me, and the King James Version says, "And Jesus stood still." I want to use that for a subject, when Jesus stood still. Anytime you can get Jesus to stand still in your situation, you ought to say praise the Lord. I mean, as busy as Jesus was, there were some occasions that caused him to stand still. You remember in Mark chapter 10, there was a rich young ruler who came running to Jesus, and he had a question on his mind. He was rich, he was young, but he wasn't so rich and young that he wasn't thinking about the future. He was thinking about eternal life. "Good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Brother Smith mentioned that there are a number of young people here, and there's a lot of things that young folk could be thinking about. And I hope that our young folk will be thinking about eternal life. You need to be thinking about heaven. You need to be thinking about, if the Lord allow you to grow up and live a long life, what's going to happen after death? And you don't have to be old to die. The tragedy of Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and seven others teaches us that life is not promised. Death could happen at any time. And you don't have to be old or sick to die. But this rich young ruler came running to Jesus with a question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, why are you calling me good? There's only one good, and that's God. You know the commandments: do not steal, do not kill, defraud not, honor thy father and mother, do not commit adultery. And the young man said something admirable. He said, "Master, all of these I kept from my youth up." And Jesus said, "Well, that's fine and good, but there's one thing you lack." And Jesus The Bible said, beholding him, he loved him. In my mind, that caused Jesus to stand still. He looked at the young man and beheld him, potential that he had, but there was one thing that he lacked. And Jesus said to him, go thy way and sell all that you have, give it to the poor, take up your cross and follow me. And we know the story, sad. The young man went away grieved because he had great possessions. In Mark chapter 5, there was a woman who had an issue of blood. And from other synoptic writers, we realize that she had that issue for 12 long years. And she went from doctor to doctor and spent all she had. She got worse instead of getting better. But she broke through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus realized that virtue had been taken out of him. In my way, I'm saying that it caused him to stand still. I want you to know tonight that you are important in the eyes of Jesus. You are so important that he will take time out of his schedule to address your need. Now you may not see it yet. You may think that you are nobody. You may think that you are insignificant. But I came to say God loves the whole world. And he loves you. He knows your situation. He knows what you're going through. And I know, and I'm glad that, you know, and I wanted to put this into an introduction. You know, life, how one looks at life will determine their course of life. A person can look at a glass and will see it half full. And another person can look at that same glass and see it half empty. One person can be optimistic and another can be pessimistic. And the pessimist sees difficulty in every opportunity, where the optimist sees opportunity in every difficulty. But I want you to realize tonight that in God's eyes, you are special. In God's eyes, you are precious. In God's eyes, you are important. It's really how you look at life. But you have to learn. We came in this morning, and one of the brothers was standing at the door, and you know, he asked us how we were doing. We're doing fine, and we asked him how he was doing. He just didn't say he was doing all right. He just didn't say he was doing good. He said, I'm doing excellent. And when he said he's doing excellent, I said, that's Dill Avenue. That's Sandy Lane. That's something he learned. We've got to learn how to look at life positively. And realize that God values us and you are important in the eyes of the Lord. So a person who is full of doubt will find problems in opportunities. But a person full of faith finds opportunity in problems. It all depends on how one is focused and interprets what they confront in life. And life ain't easy. I wish it was, but life ain't easy. But we serve a God who will give us the strength to get through whatever we have to face. The man in our text had a problem. But he used his problem as an opportunity to better his life. Y'all ready for this? This is the last miracle that Mark recorded. And when we talk about miracles, there are three types of miracles. Stories in the book of Mark. They are nature miracles. You know, when Jesus calmed the storm, when he fed 5,000, when he walked on water, those were nature miracles. Then there were miracles where he took demons out of people or evil spirits. There were man with an evil spirit, Mark 1. Demon-possessed man, Mark chapter 5. Syrophoenician woman traveled because her daughter was grievously vexed with a devil. Then there was a boy with an evil spirit. But then there were miracles of healing. Jesus healed Simon's mother-in-law. He healed a man with a dreaded skin disease. He healed a paralyzed man, Jairus' daughter, and then that woman who had the hemorrhage of blood. But in this text, he heals a man by the name of Bartimaeus. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he's on there on his way for the last time, but he makes a stop in Jericho. Jericho was one of the most important cities of Palestine. One of the world's main commercial roads ran through the city, north to south. The city was only about 17 miles from Jerusalem, and it is thought to be the oldest city in the world. This was during the Passover season, which means thousands of pilgrims were making their way to Jerusalem. Now watch this. Passover season, pilgrims coming from different parts of the country, going to Jerusalem, but they had to pass through Jericho. Blind Bartimaeus knew this, and he also knew that religious people were more sensitive. Well, let me say, religious people should be more sensitive to the needs of helpless people who had to beg for a living. So Bartimaeus, during the Passover season, is sitting by the highway side. He's begging, knowing that people are going to come by. When you look at the other synoptic writers, Matthew will say there are two blind men. Luke will say that Jesus was leaving Jericho, where Mark says he was entering Jericho. There may have been two blind men, and perhaps Mark and Luke focused on one, Bartimaeus, who we know by name. Bartimaeus is the only person who was healed in the synoptic gospels who was given a name. Usually when Jesus is healing someone, the text will say a man with an unclean spirit or a certain woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit. Usually the Bible does not give us a name, does not give us a background, does not give us their social security number. And I came to say that when it comes to salvation, when it comes to Jesus meeting our needs, your name and your background ain't really important. What's really important is you realize that you need Jesus in your life. But in this text, the man is identified. His name is Bartimaeus, but he is the son of Timaeus. And he's a blind beggar sitting by the roadside. Watch this. This is how Mark describes him. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. He's a beggar who's blind. You ain't got it yet. When folk talk about you, what they going to say? They going to call you by your name. They will say who you came from. And then they're going to give you a tag that sort of defines yourself. You still ain't seeing where I'm going. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. What you got to say about Bartimaeus? He's a blind beggar. I'm really trying to say tonight, we ought to live when folk talk about us. If they tell the truth, they got to say good stuff. Are y'all with me? I ain't worried about folk lying on me, you know, because folk gonna lie. Are y'all with me? But y'all ain't with me? I say, folk will lie. But the tag that ought to follow us, and there's going to be a tag. There's going to be a tag. All of us have a reputation. Say amen now. And sometimes when folk, you know, and I will say this, you know, whatever we think of somebody, if it's good and positive, give folk their flowers while they can still smell them. You know, give them their flowers while they can still. I heard a joke where some lady went to a funeral. And she put a bowl of grits on the casket, a bowl of grits. And somebody got upset with her and said, why in the world would you bring a bowl of grits? The dead man can't eat those grits. And she said, well, he can't smell the flowers either. Are y'all with me? Well, really, the flowers ain't for him. The flowers is for the family. Are y'all with me? But take time out of your schedule when you interact with somebody to tell folks some good stuff. To tell folk what you appreciate about them. Tell them, you know, we got a habit. We can run folk down and not even think about it twice. But take time to tell folk something significant, something positive, something weight that they have encouraged you. And I know life can't be so hard and bad that we go through life and nobody says or nobody does anything encouraging. Give folk their flowers while they can still smell them. Well, here's Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Timaeus, the name Timaeus, carries the meaning of unclean. It means foulness, dirtiness, filthiness. Timaeus carries the idea of moral impurity, defiled by sin, lewdness. Now watch this. You got to follow me here. If that's the name of Bartimaeus' daddy, what they're saying when folk call Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus, you are the son of an unclean man. You are the son of a man who has moral impurity. And unclean folk could not worship in the temple. Unclean folk could not socialize. Lepers were considered unclean. The woman with the issue of blood was unclean. So watch what Bartimaeus had to go through. Not only is he blind, but he is burdened with the fact that his daddy has a name that is unclean. And folk called the blind man Bartimaeus, which simply means the son of an unclean person. Bar means son. So he's the son of Timaeus, which means all he goes through the town, folk are going to point their finger. There go that blind beggar. And guess what? He's the son of an unclean man. He's the son of a man who can't go into the temple. So Bartimaeus is burdened with the scar that he's got to wear this name and his daddy is unclean. Y'all don't see it yet. But Bartimaeus is sidelined. He's marginalized. He's ostracized. That's before he met Jesus. Are y'all with me? Before meeting Jesus, he's blind, he's burdened, and he's a beggar. Before he met Jesus, he's freezed out. He's isolated. He starts out beside the highway side. But after meeting Jesus, he's walking with him on the road. He went from being an outsider to an insider. He went from being a bystander to a disciple. I'm trying to make the point tonight. When Jesus stands still and come in your life, he changes you. He turns your life around. You go from nobody to becoming a somebody. You go to someone with no hope to having hope. Somebody ought to be shouting right about now. Because I know some folk who will remind you of your mistakes, will bring it up at every opportunity, will do everything to keep you down. I'm so glad that Jesus can turn somebody's life around. Jesus is in the can-do business. And he was always, Jesus was doing something for someone else. Well, what did Bartimaeus, he got a problem. He's blind. He's a beggar. He can't work because of his blindness. But he needed to do something in order to better himself. The first step for Bartimaeus is because he couldn't see, he had to depend on hearing about Jesus. Bartimaeus heard all kind of noises when he sat by the highway side. The noise of individuals, the noise of groups, the noise of caravans. He heard the noise of feet trampling along, of animals, of conversations of other people, of laughter, of play with children. He heard all kind of talks, serious talk, jovial talk, rude talk, off-color talk. He heard all kind of things because he couldn't see. But then something happened. The size of the crowd and the noise of the talk changed. The passersby became a throng, a multitude of people, and the noise and talk wasn't just chatter about the sports. They wasn't talking about Trump and what's going on in the White House. They wasn't talking about the snow coming on tomorrow. But now folk are talking about Jesus. Oh, Jesus is in the way. Jesus is coming. Y'all need to get ready because I don't know what you got planned tomorrow, but put it on hold because Jesus is now coming this way. Ain't time to talk about Trump. Trump is Trump. He's 45. He's the president. He can't help himself. But I know somebody bigger than Trump. Say amen, somebody. I know somebody that's in control of the whole world. And Trump can only go so far, but my God, God still is in control. And I came to tell you, you may want to talk about Trump. You may want to talk about Kobe. You may want to talk about the NBA All-Star game. But when can we take time to talk about Jesus? I think there ought to be some time when we just stop talking about everything else. I wish I had some help here. If someone else would stop talking about some other stuff. Now I'm meddling. I'm meddling. It's the last night I can meddle now. I can meddle now. We'll talk about what the preacher wore. Say amen now. Man, he was sharp or he wasn't sharp. Are y'all with me? Oh, we talk about the kind of car he drive. We talk about the brother singing. He off key. We talking about the brother prayed too long. Can we talk about Jesus? We talk about, man, Brother Crusoe got up there. And, boy, it's the last night and it's Wednesday night. I got to do this tonight. I got to go there. Can we talk about Jesus? I got to go wash clothes. I got to go do something in the house. No. The talk, the conversation ought to be about Jesus. And this man, Bartimaeus, couldn't see him. So first he had to hear about Jesus. Y'all know where I'm going. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing comes by what? The word of God. We need to hear something about Jesus. You know what we ought to be telling folk about Jesus? We ought to be telling folk he was born of a virgin. Say amen now. We ought to be telling folk that when Jesus was born, he was older than his mother and older than his earthly father. We ought to tell folk that God became flesh and divinity took on humanity. We ought to tell folk that he was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. Tell folk that as a man he got hungry, but as God he fed 5,000. Tell folk as a man he got thirsty, but as God he provided living water. Tell folk that he's the virtuous, about the virtuous life of Jesus, that he went about doing good. There was no guile, no sin in mouth. While you're tearing folk down, we ought to be building Jesus up. Y'all ain't hearing me here. You know, some of us ain't gonna lose our soul because we drink, gamble, and run women. Some of us gonna lose our soul because of our mouth. If we took the time to talk about Jesus instead of talking about one another. Preach, Brother Crusoe. I'm trying. I'm really trying tonight. Yeah. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Tell folk he was born of a virgin. Tell folk he was God and man at the same time. Tell folk he lived a virtuous life, and he went about doing good. There was no sin, no guile in his mouth. So the first thing that Bartimaeus had to do, he had to hear that Jesus was in the way. Then Bartimaeus had to acknowledge that he needed Jesus. As soon as Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus, Bartimaeus instantly began shouting out to attract the attention of Jesus. Bartimaeus created so much fuss and noise above the crowd that the crowd told Bartimaeus to shut up. Y'all know where I'm going. Man, it kind of, you got to go through some stuff to really understand that when we come here, man, I've been going through so much all week long, and then the weeks turn into months, and the months turn into years, that when I come here, I can't help myself. I got to sing, I got to shout. And sometimes we try to limit the expression of folk sometimes. But you don't know what folk, you don't know what the folk on your row has been going through. Man, we look good tonight. And you ought to look good when you come to worship God. And sometimes we look good, but you don't really know what's going on in the life of a person. You don't know their struggle. You don't know their hardship. You don't know how they may have been mistreated and abused by somebody in the family. You don't know their background. You don't know how difficult it is on their job. You don't know the struggle that they went through. And sometimes when we come here, we just want to let it out. We just want to shout, Jesus, Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus. And Bartimaeus had to acknowledge his need and confess it publicly. He did not approach Jesus secretly or quietly by asking someone close by to appeal to Jesus on his behalf. Are y'all with me? Man, you can't go to heaven by somebody else's, what they call it, proxy. You can't go to heaven on somebody else's proxy. No, you got to go to heaven for yourself. Say amen now. I can't sing for you. Say amen now. You can't sing for me. I can pray on your behalf, but there's the acts of worship all of us should be involved in. But this man had a desperate need, and he had to accept the fact that he was blind. He had to accept the fact that he was a beggar. He had to accept the fact that when they talked about his daddy, they said, my daddy was unclean. My daddy couldn't go into the temple. He had to accept all of that, but he had to also realize that if I'm going to get better, the only man that can help me is Jesus. Watch this, watch this. Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was in the way. He starts crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Do y'all know what mercy is? Mercy is not the same thing as grace. Grace, and we talk about grace and mercy, and maybe before we leave, I can hear it. Here at Sandy Lane, great, your grace and mercy. With all these song leaders in here, maybe one of them can sing grace and mercy. That's just a request. Subtle request. but grace is a gift that you get that you don't deserve. Are y'all with me? You know, that's a gift you get, but you don't deserve the gift. But mercy is withholding the punishment that you do deserve. I'm glad y'all saying something. I'm working on y'all. Because we are saved not by works of righteousness. Now, we come to church and we are faithful in attendance and we support the local church and we all do that. But if you are saved, it's because God has withheld the punishment that we deserve. Are y'all with me now? Don't ever get so caught up in yourself and think that you're so righteous that you deserve to be saved. Come on now. Man, I've been preaching almost 40 years. Well, thank you. The Lord just used me for 40 years. But it's not my preaching that saves me. Say amen now. Well, I've been in church. We still have some members in Hopewell. Who original members, 1947, they were baptized in Jones Lake, and I honor them. I recognize that because I really appreciate that. I admire that because, 76 years, they still on the battlefield, ain't left the church, ain't went back to the denomination, still come to church. They done seen Hopewell up. They done seen Hopewell down. They done seen Hopewell in the middle and still holding on. Appreciate that. I'm glad they don't see folk come and go. Say amen now. They don't see folk cuss each other out, fuss each other out, fight one another. Are y'all with me? Ain't gone nowhere. But that ain't what saves you. That's what you do because you are saved. Are y'all with me? I worship and I study and I support the church. I don't create no fuss in the church. You can't point no finger at me at being a troublemaker. I do that because God's mercy has saved me. I deserved punishment, but the good God of heaven reserved the punishment that I deserve. Are y'all with me? Some of y'all ain't been in enough trouble yet. Some of y'all ain't never been in no trouble where you are guilty, you have sin, and you recognize you have sinned, but God withhold the punishment. What Bartimaeus is saying, Lord, have some mercy on me. I'm in a fix. I'm in a situation. And I need some mercy right about now. Are y'all with me? Anybody here ever said, Lord, have mercy? Did anybody ever, life had gotten to your point where you just said, Lord, have mercy. Sometimes we don't understand why it's, whatever's happening, why it's happening. why am I going through this? Why is it happening now? Why am I being treated like this? Why am I have to face this? Maybe if I can get three folk that know what I'm talking about and say amen, I feel like I've done something tonight. So in this text, Bartimaeus eagerly expected to receive help from Jesus. That's why he's crying out, "Oh Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And then Jesus stood still in this big crowd. Man, you mean Jesus gonna stand still for me? But Jesus had to send for the man, but he still stood still because of the man's need. He stood still because the man had persisted in crying despite many opposing him. Jesus stood still because he never turned away from a man who cried for help. Are y'all with me? Ain't that good news? Man, the good news is if you cry for help, he's going to respond to your cry. Say amen now. Yeah, he not, you know, but what gets me is Bartimaeus is crying for mercy and the crowd is telling him to hold his peace. I'm so glad that Bartimaeus' loyalty wasn't to the crowd. Are y'all with me? Yeah, I know how we are. I don't want to be out there on a limb by myself. I want to be with the crowd. I need some backup and everything. But watch this. Here's a blind beggar trying to better himself. And then here, watch this. This is how we are. This is how. Let me use bad English. This is how we is. Folk with sight is telling a man without sight to shut up because they don't want him to have sight. I work at Riverside Regional Jail on a couple of days a week. I teach GED courses, and some of the coworkers we were talking the other day, and we were talking about the condition of the world and, you know, how bad it is and racism, hostility. With this being Black History Month, racism came in. And one of my coworkers said, well, there's going to always be an underclass. I don't care what you do, there's always going to be an underclass. And you know, really the way the system is worked, yeah, there's an upper class, there's a lower class. And it always seemed like we are the lower class. But don't you realize there are some folk who want to keep us down so they can be up? Y'all ain't hearing me. That's why, you know, what I want us to realize in the church, we got to start treating each other better. And don't have no upper and lower class in the church. You know, but folk are like that. Bartimaeus trying to better himself. You know, what? Any man that's a man want to better himself. And here's Bartimaeus, blind and begging, and he's crying for mercy, and there's folk telling him to hold his peace. But I'm glad Bartimaeus cried the more. And then Jesus stood still and gave Bartimaeus a blank check. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What is it that you want me to do? Now, that ain't the time, y'all, to be scratching your head. Well, gee, let me think about it. Geez, I don't know, I really don't know. I got to go home and, I got to check with somebody at home. And can I get back to you tomorrow? Listen. When Jesus give you a blank check, you better cash it. Am I talking to anybody? I mean, you know, you're blind and you're begging. You know, it's like, man, yeah, I had a situation once where, brother and sister, they were having some issues in their marriage, and the dude was like, alcoholic and that kind of thing, losing his family. And, I had a little talk with him, and, you know, his wife was ready to leave, and he had lost his job, and he was in and out of the hospital. And I'm trying to encourage this dude, man, why don't you get yourself together, you know? And the dude said, well, Bro Crusoe, I'm just waiting for something to hit me. Are y'all hearing me? I said, dude. I ain't even want to call him my brother. I said, dude. Look, your wife is ready to leave. And you done lost your job. And you're in and out of the hospital. And you waiting for something to hit you. I got so frustrated with that guy, I started to hit him. Because he said he's waiting for something to hit him. Are y'all with me? I mean, if losing your wife and losing your job and losing your health, if that ain't a sign. Man, I started to get this Bible and smack him upside his head. When Jesus gives you a blank check, you better cash it. I'm so glad that when it comes to our salvation, Jesus will stand still. Somebody say he's a rock in a weary land. He's a shelter in the time of storm. He's a way maker. He's my bridge over troubled waters. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the Lamb of God. And I think we got to tell folk that old, old story. How a Savior came from glory. How he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And I think that the blank check that Jesus gave us is really the story of the cross. And we got to tell folk the story of the cross. We got to tell folk about that vicarious death. You know, it was on a fateful Friday that they took him from judgment hall to judgment hall. They stripped him naked, beat him unmercifully, dropped him low, stretched him wide, propped him up high. He hung on the cross. The Bible lets us know that the daylight turned to darkness, the earthquake, the temple rent. People got up from the grave and started walking around. They pierced him in the side. Y'all know the story. And out came blood and water. But that's the blank check. Are y'all hearing me? The power to save folk is that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross. And now he's trying to give us a blank check to salvation. Man, you got to tell the story about the vicarious death. Got to tell the story of the victorious resurrection. Yeah, they killed him on Friday. The curtain was torn in two. Daylight turned to darkness. Disciples hiding in fear. His mother was weeping. His enemies are mocking. But it was early on Sunday morning, he got up from the grave. Man, that's my blank check. And once he saves me, you think I'm going back to the world? You think I'm going to turn away? And Bartimaeus, watch what he did. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do? And Bartimaeus, he was specific. Master, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said, go. Your faith has made you well. Ain't that good news? Somebody can leave here tonight. If you just have enough faith to cash that blank check. I just believe that stuff don't happen by accident. And I don't believe that things happen by coincidence. I do believe in the providence of God. I believe that God fixed things and God knows where we're going to be before we get there. And God will put people in place to meet you where you are in your circumstance, because he's trying to bring you closer to him. But when he gives you that blank check, you better cash it. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Believe that he is God's son, that he can make your life better. I'm not going to argue with nobody. Ain't no better life than the Christian life. I'm talking about the Christian life. Ain't no better life than being a child of God. You know, I know folk want to go to different places for fun. You know, when I want to have fun, I want to come have some fun at church. Man, you know, I'm having fun right now. That's why I'm preaching so long. I'm having some fun. You know, church activities is fun to me. Being around Christians, talking about the Lord, winning souls, that's fun to me. Fellowshipping, you know, discussing the Bible, that's fun to me. But you got to cash that blank check. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Repent of your past sins. Confess that he is God's son. And then you can be baptized in water for the remission of sins. But I want you to realize tonight that you're so important that Jesus will stand still just for you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're going through. Yeah, he knows. He knows. I know he knows. I know he knows. I know he knows. And not only does he know, he cares. He cares. There may be someone here tonight who needs the grace and mercy of God Almighty. God is kind, and God will withhold the punishment. He'll justify us when we obey the gospel. He'll treat us like we never did anything wrong. Ain't that good news? man, you come up here, don't matter what you've been through, don't matter what you did, don't matter, you know, what folk did to you. When you're baptized, your sins are forgiven. You start all over again. You're a new creature in Christ. Man, you get a second lease on life. All you have to do is come down these aisles. They'll ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Your response is in the affirmative. And based on that, you will be baptized in water, immersed in water, for the remission of your sins, and God will add you to his church. And then if you're a child of God and you need prayer, we all need prayer. I'm on the prayer list already. I want y'all to pray for me, for traveling grace. But we all need prayer. Am I right about it? We need prayer. And in this dangerous time, this dangerous age that we live in, we need prayer as soon as we leave the house. You're on your way to work. You think you're on your way to work, and you don't know what's going to happen. Between the time you leave the house, get in your car. You know, there's I'm on a board in Memphis of a retirement home. We built a retirement home when I was in Memphis, and I serve on that board as the president. And it's a gated community. We got gates, and we've got security cameras in that retirement home, and we even got a security guard. But last year, one of the residents left her apartment, came out the front door, and attempted to get in her car, and somebody off the street came in and carjacked her. You know, now, being a board member and president, I'm concerned because we got cameras and we got a security guard, and come to find out the guard was sleeping. But sometimes you can't even get to your car safely. You need to cash that check tonight. You need to have Jesus as your security guard. Is that all right? Will you come? Let's stand. Let's sing a song of invitation. Will you come?
Come from the lonesome way of sin. Hide you in the blood of Jesus. Come, for the Lord will take you.